also greet you in Jesus' name this morning. When I began to study for this morning, I did not realize Clyde was going to share, but it's a very good introduction to what I want to share this morning. So please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 4 for a message this morning. I've been reading through the book of Matthew in my personal reading, and there's a phrase that has come up several times in the reading in the book of Matthew, and I want to start reading in verse 23 of chapter 4 as a text verse. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, "And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." The phrase that stood out to me in this passage was in verse 23, that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And this phrase is used three times in the New Testament. It's actually three times here in the book of Matthew. And if I'm correct, I believe I'm correct on this, that this exact phrase is only found in the book of Matthew. Now, there's some similar phrases in the other gospels, but Mark, for instance, excuse me, but Matthew repeats this phrase three times in his gospel, or in his recording of the accounts, that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. What was Jesus proclaiming that this tax collector, obviously inspired of God, would write down that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom? We think of Jesus being, at least I think of Jesus being a miracle worker, someone who healed diseases, someone who was compassionate to the poor, and all of these things. But I don't necessarily think about him being a preacher of the gospel. But it says here that Jesus went in their synagogues preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, this was very early in Jesus' ministry. He was still selecting his disciples. He was still calling men to follow him. And he was sharing this message. And we could go back here in chapter 4 to verse 17, which is the sort of the opening of Jesus' ministry. And he proclaimed, verse 17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So this was very early in Jesus' ministry. This was something he wanted to convey to his followers, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. And he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then we know Matthew 5 quite well. Many of us have it memorized. But then he goes on to explain what the gospel of the kingdom is. We're not going to look at Matthew chapter 5 this morning, but I want to endeavor this morning in a few minutes to just discuss what the gospel of the kingdom is and how that applies to my life and to your life today. So we often use the word gospel. It rolls off our tongues quite frequently. It means good news or a good message. That is Strong's definition of it. Webster's is the message concerning Christ, the kingdom of God, and salvation. So what I want to highlight for us this morning is there's a lot of people who share the gospel, and God bless them for that. But I think it's key that we tie this gospel message along with living it out in the kingdom of God, because the gospel is not just about me being saved, and then I can go on with my life. The gospel of the kingdom is that salvation has come to me and to us, but then we are called to something beyond that. And that's what I want to endeavor to look at here this morning. The gospel calls us beyond salvation to the kingdom and lordship of Jesus Christ, our King. That's my burden this morning that I want to share. So I suggest this morning that when Matthew wrote this down, that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he was using these words to describe Jesus' message, but it came from a viewpoint of who he believed Jesus was. And I'll explain why I think that here just briefly. So Matthew, as a writer, often pointed back to the Old Testament. Well, that's all he had to look back to. And specifically the book of Isaiah, to explain what was taking place in what he was recording. There's 9 times, at least that's what I found, in the book of Matthew, that he wrote, that it might be fulfilled. So an event was taking place, and Matthew wrote, that it might be fulfilled, and he pointed back to the book of Isaiah. So Matthew was looking back to the promises and seeing them being fulfilled in Jesus, and that's one of the themes of his book. For example, Matthew 1, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled, a virgin shall be with child, and he pointed back to Isaiah 9. Matthew 2, 15, that it might be fulfilled, out of Egypt have I called my son. Matthew 2, 23, that it might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. And just different time, 9 different times in the Gospel of Matthew, he says that it might be fulfilled, and he points back to the Old Testament scriptures and specifically the book of Isaiah. So this language that Matthew used to describe the message Jesus was preaching, the gospel of the kingdom, makes sense, especially if you're familiar with the themes and the wording in the book of Isaiah. So what was the message that Jesus preached? Well, turn over to Luke chapter 4. Jesus, obviously, when he spoke, also recited from the Old Testament. And Luke chapter 4, some beautiful verses here. Beautiful verses here. I'm going to read verses 16 through 22 to capture the thought here this morning. Luke chapter 4, start reading in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again unto the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened unto him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Sometimes we use the term, it got so quiet you could hear a pin drop. And I can imagine that in the synagogue that day, it got so quiet you could hear a pin drop. When this young man opens this book, the book of Isaiah, and reads and finishes it with saying, this day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. Let's just turn back to Isaiah and read that prophecy. There's a little bit of a difference in translation going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's minimal, but let's just flip back to Isaiah chapter 61. Read that from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I don't know if Matthew just recorded that Jesus stopped reading there, or that's exactly where he stopped. I'm a little unsure about that. But what we can take from this is that Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom. The weight of sin that had pressed down on humanity since the fall was being lifted. That's what he was lifting up. There was a new day dawning, and it was a fulfillment of the promises and prophecies from hundreds of years before. Just notice the redemption that takes place in these verses. The first one, to preach the gospel to the poor. That's how it's recorded in Luke. Isaiah 61 records it, preach the good tidings to the meek. The poor, they're the rejected of society. They're the ones who are pushed off to the side. The ones that people tried to get away from as quickly as they could, or else avoided completely. These are the dirty people, the people who smelled bad. Those are the people that were pushed off. These people were on the outside. But I think these are also people who understood their neediness. And they, when Jesus preached this message, the gospel of the kingdom, they were more ready to receive it than the people who thought they had themselves put together. And this is who Jesus came to redeem, to buy back. See that again in the second line. He heals the brokenhearted. Sin, just think about the effects of sin as we read down over these verses and how Jesus, in preaching the gospel of the kingdom, meets that sin need in all of our hearts. He heals the brokenhearted. Sin brings so much heartache to humanity. Think about the broken relationships, the difficulties that we see happening in the world, the atrocities of war, the hopelessness. Those are all effects of sin. And Jesus, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, said, I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. To this day, is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears? Number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Not just talking about people who are bound in a prison cell, but people who are bound by the chains of sin. Sin brings bondage. It holds us captive. We can't get ourselves out of the mess we are in. And Jesus, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, brings freedom from these bondages. Sight to the blind. That's recorded in Luke. The recovering of sight to the blind. Jesus brought sight to many blind people on the streets of Galilee, Capernaum, Jerusalem, but he brought sight to humanity, where he opened the blindness that sin brings into our lives. He opens our eyes of understanding and brings sight to us. This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. We're so blind to our needs sometimes. And that gospel brings our sight to us. Number five, set at liberty those who are bruised. Liberty means freedom or pardon, deliverance, forgiveness. That's Strong's definition here of freedom. Deliverance, forgiveness, liberty, or remission to those that are bruised. Or the word bruised there means to crush. Those who are crushed by the weight of sin. Jesus came to bring deliverance to those, to us. And the last phrase there, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this seems to point back to the book of Leviticus, where in the 50th year was the year of Jubilee, when there was a new beginning, a new start. Their debts were forgiven. They could have a fresh start. And that's what the gospel of the kingdom brings to us who are in sin today. Today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. So just going back to Matthew chapter 4 again, the message that Jesus came with, the message of course, the good news of salvation, the gospel of the kingdom, but prior to that, repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means to think differently about something. I used to think about it this way, and now I think about it this way. That's what repentance means. That's a key here in having this fulfilled in our ears, is when we are willing to repent of our sin. And then, of course, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of salvation to men. And this time of year, we think about it a lot as we see nativity scenes, or we're thinking about Christmas. The Christmas songs this morning, I was blessed by those. As we think about the gospel coming, or Jesus coming to earth, and the gospel message that we have to share with those around us, turn to 1 Thessalonians. I want to read a few verses there on how the gospel impacts our lives today here in 2023. I'd like to think about three aspects of the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's read verse 1 through 5. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Excuse me, let's read verse 6 and 7 as well. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So let's just back up and get a little bit of background on this letter to the Thessalonians. So scholars believe this is the first letter, or one of the first, if not the very first, letter that Paul wrote to any of the churches that he had helped establish on his missionary journeys. So Paul had only been in Thessalonica for a few weeks. Well, it says he reasoned with them 3 Sabbath days. I'll just read these verses from Acts 17, 2 to 3. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto the synagogue, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So Paul had been in Thessalonica for a very short time and had to be escorted out of the city because of the persecution. And so he's writing this letter back to them to encourage them. There in Thessalonica, there were some that believed, and there were some who said that these people are these that have turned the world upside down, are come hither also. So if you remember that when Paul was there for only a short time, and they faced a lot of pressure and conflict, and Paul had to leave. So he's, like I said earlier, he's sending this letter back to encourage them. And verse 5 is what caught my attention when I was thinking about this idea of Jesus preaching the gospel of the kingdom and what that means to us today. I'd like to take 3 points here from Paul in verse 5. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So number 1, the gospel comes to us in the word. There's a message. And we'll look at each one of these a little bit more in depth. But then the gospel also comes to us in power and the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, there's gospel in action, or the gospel that gets lived out, or else it's just a save me gospel. So let's just think about the gospel in word for a minute. The message that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds out there on the mountains in the darkness of that night, Luke 2. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings," which is a very similar to word to gospel, "of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So this gospel message came to those shepherds. This gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom, is a message that is preached and it's proclaimed. It's a message that gets told to our children. It's a message that gets told to my neighbor. And it's a message that gets told to the customer and everyone we meet. It's good news of the kingdom. And it gets shared over and over and over again. There's a prophecy of how the message will go out. I'd like to just read it to you. I found it interesting. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and I will teach us, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In Luke 24, verse 45, Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and the remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this gospel message, this gospel of the kingdom, is a message that was prophesied in the Old Testament and was preached by John the Baptist in the wilderness, and by Jesus on the hillsides of Galilee, and by Paul in the early church, and down through the ages, and has reached all the way across to the little town of Altoona and a lot of places in between. We praise God for that. And it just keeps pushing, keeps growing, keeps expanding. And that's what we see prophesied in the book of Isaiah. I know we already looked at Isaiah chapter 61, but just turn back there for a moment. Isaiah chapter 61. Actually, I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 60. And let's read verse 21 and 22. This is just prior to what Jesus read. It says, Thy people also shall be all righteous, and they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. And then it goes into chapter 61. That's what Clyde was sharing with us this morning. That small that has become great. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Even Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like that leaven. It's a little bit that you put into a little bit of yeast that you ladies put into bread, and it expands up, and then it comes up over the sides of the bowl. That's what the kingdom is. But Paul says that the gospel is not just words. It's a message, but it's not just words. It's power. The gospel of the kingdom, that takes us to our second point. The gospel of the kingdom is of power. It's a message that brings change. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20 says, For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So the gospel, that message that Jesus proclaimed, the gospel of the kingdom, is one that brings change. The drunkard no longer goes to the bar on Friday night. The person who has anger problem no longer lashes out. Whatever you want to put in that situation that applies to you, that's what the gospel does, the power of the gospel. Romans 1, verse 16, we know it well. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I think it's possible in our zealousness of the gospel that we try to change people. But the gospel has the power to change people. We bring the message, but the gospel of the kingdom permeates into those hearts and brings change. Let's not get frustrated with the message because we're not seeing change. That's God's problem. He can take care of that. The power of the gospel can do that. Let's just spread the good news and let Jesus work in the hearts of men. Number three, gospel in action. The gospel of the kingdom has to get lived out. Verse 5 there in 1 Thessalonians says, Ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. A gospel that is just words and a big show of power soon fades. But a gospel that lives out, that gets lived out in everyday life, keeps growing and expanding. Like Clyde was sharing with us this morning there in Bangladesh. One person believes, tells someone else, they see his change of life, and they say that person has something. That's how the gospel works. When it gets lived out in everyday life, it keeps expanding. So in Matthew chapter 4, there we started, it goes right into Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus touches almost every aspect of practical living. And we're not going to take the time to go back to Matthew 5 and look at all of those because we know what's recorded there. But the point is that the gospel must get lived out. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Does our conversation become the gospel of Christ? Conversation meaning our way of life. Does it complement the gospel that we preach? So just coming back, what is the gospel of the kingdom? What is that message? It's the message of a Savior to a dying world that reaches out in repentance and faith to a king that they surrender their lives to and serve him all their days. If we just put the gospel of the kingdom in a nutshell, I would condense it in that way. The gospel of the kingdom is the message of a Savior to a dying world that reaches out in repentance and faith to a king that they surrender their lives to and serve him all their days. That's the message we have to share with the world this Christmas season. God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again this morning. Thank you so much for the privilege we have to worship together. Lord, thank you so much for the gospel message that has come all the way down through time to us here in Altoona today. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sin that we can have through Jesus Christ. And thank you for those prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the gift of salvation. And we just pray, Lord, that we would be able to take this good news, this gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom, that we would take it with us and share it with those around us, and that your kingdom would grow up here in Altoona and Hollidaysburg and in the Cove and wherever we live, Lord, that your kingdom would be built and established and grow and multiply many times. We ask this in Jesus' name.